Ladies and gentlemen, then we have only one final proposal on our table. That is a proposal from the Codice Committee on Natural Mineral Waters. The committee did excellent work, and let me see. There was a proposal for new work, just informed by the secretary that it did not came through the committee, but was a proposal from Kenya. And there were concerns, particularly on the availability of methods of analysis for pesticide residues and contaminants, and also there were concerns regarding hygiene provisions. You see the discussion we had in the executive committee, and I draw your attention to the paragraphs 102 up to 106, and in 106 you see the recommendation that the executive committee did not endorse this as a piece of new work, but that the issues raised by Kenya best could be referred to the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods, to the Pesticide Committee, and on the Committee of Methods of Analysis and Sampling, and also to decide to ask the Codex Committee for Food Hygiene to ask whether it was possible to give a higher priority to the revision of the Code of Hygienic Practice, which was considered as a prerequisite to the revision of the hygiene section of the standard. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I have for you for your approval, that we follow the recommendation made by the Executive Committee, that we do not endorse this piece of work, but that we consider the legitimate concerns and questions from Kenya, and that we ask the committees mentioned in the report of the Executive Committee to take these questions on board and to report in due time to the Executive Committee and the Commission. And I take it that that is acceptable to the Commission, which is Kenya and then Cameroon. Kenya, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When during the meeting of the Committee on Natural Mineral Waters that was held in February, it was very clear that from the footnotes 3 and 4, the current standard has no specific methods of analysis on the surface active agents, pesticides, polychlorinated biphenyls, mineral oil, and polynuclear aromatic hydrocarbons. And this makes it very difficult when it comes to practical application of the standard. And that's why the delegation of Kenya felt that this proposal should be handled by the Committee of Natural Mineral Waters, also including the section of hygiene, where it talks about microbiological requirements. So where it seems as if there are some microbiological requirements rather than maybe maximum limits on microbiological whatever. So it would yes make sense that it would go to CCMAS or food hygiene. But what I would like to stress here is that this is important and very urgent for us, considering the amount of mineral waters that are traded within our country, within the region, and it's a real concern for our country. Thank you.
Thank you, delegation of Kenya, for this further clarification. This was precisely the message we got also as CCXEC, that for that reason we spent some time on it and said let's try to refer this matter to the respective committees mentioned in the report and see whether he can be of any help to, amongst others, your government on this particular matter. Delegation of Cameroon, please.
Monsieur le Président, merci. Nous voulons d'abord remercier le travail du comité exécutif qui prend très au sérieux ces nouvelles tâches de revue critique. Et nous pensons que jusqu'à maintenant, il s'en est bien sorti. Nous avons suivi ce que vous avez dit tout à l'heure, Monsieur le Président, en concluant sur ce point. Le Kenya est certainement revenu sur la question de l'urgence. Et c'est sur cette question d'urgence que moi aussi, sur cette question que nous voudrions également revenir. Parce que dans votre conclusion, vous n'avez pas demandé, vous n'avez pas dit si, en renvoyant cette question à Sisi Mas ou de tout autre comité, quelle serait l'urgence. Quand je lis le paragraphe 105, il est demandé, il est dit que le rapport du comité exécutif, le paragraphe 105, il a dit que la commission pourrait considérer et si ce serait une question d'urgence ou pas. Donc je crois que sur ce point, il faudrait peut-être que la commission se prononce, puisque vous ne l'avez pas fait à ce niveau, Monsieur le Président. Je vous remercie.
Thank you, delegate of Cameroon. My understanding is that regarding the chemicals, the pesticides, the contaminants, that the Contaminants Committee, the Pesticide Committee, and the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling will take this issue on board at the next session and report back to the Commission to inform us whether work has to be done or whether existing methods of analysis are sufficient to also to assist a government like Kenya. And let's say, likewise, I take it that the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene at its next session will look into it and see, let's say, implicitly when we say to give it a higher priority, that reflects already the fact that we see this as a matter of urgency. So thank you very much for these observations. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my understanding that we have dealt with all the issues, but I see the flag of Switzerland, the chair of the Codex Committee on Natural Mineral Waters. Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much for your summary of the discussion. Well, as you all know, Switzerland chairs the Codex Committee on Natural Mineral Waters, and correctly, Kenya stated what they had also presented to the committee during the discussions that we had. We did not say that it was not an issue for us to consider. However, due to the fact that we had been given a specific mandate, and that was of revising the health-related limits, the 16 substances, we could not examine this issue. Now, Mr. Chairman, we take note of the decision of the Commission to send the various substances to the competent committees. However, regarding the methods of analysis, as regards the food hygiene, the microbiological criteria, Mr. Chairman, this is not very clear from your conclusion how this will be handled, because you say that you presume implicitly that the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene will consider this as a matter of priority, but we think that it should be stated clearly that the Commission requests the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene to examine this issue as a matter of priority, so that the committee can then put it on its agenda and look at this issue next year, at its next year's session. Mr. Chairman, the reason why I'm saying this is that the Kenyan delegation has a point here. There needs to be work done in order to align both the code of practice and the standard. And based on the evaluation of the situation that the Food Hygiene Committee will give, then the Commission can decide at a later stage what will be done in order to ensure consistency of these codex standards. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, delegation of Switzerland. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Simplemente para verificar, quisiera que me ratificaran si los tres documentos del Comité de Residuos de Plaguicida han sido aprobados como nuevos trabajos sin observaciones.
Thank you, delegation of Argentina. Yes, endorsed. Ladies and gentlemen, then come back to the basically the comments made by Kenya, Cameroon, Switzerland, by saying, listen, the concerns expressed by Kenya to be considered as a matter of urgency. We can reflect this desire. And ladies and gentlemen, as said, my understanding is that these committees take it on board in the next session, which to a certain extent is reflecting recognition of this matter of urgency. Depending on the outcome, whether their new work has to be undertaken or whether existing methods of analysis would suffice, that has to be seen. And regarding to the request from the committee, and we have endorsed that request and referred the matter to the Food Hygiene Committee to see whether it is possible to give a higher priority to the revision that reflects also the understanding that it is a matter of urgency, but I guess that we should leave it in the hands of the committee to reflect upon this issue in the light of other priorities already on their list. So yes, I would say we recognize the urgency of the matter, and I think in that spirit the responsible committees will take this on board and report back to the Commission. Guatemala, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Yo tengo dos puntos. El primero es sumarme al apoyo para el código de prácticas para prevenir y reducir la contaminación de ocratoxina en el café, ya que Guatemala es un país productor de muy buen café. Incluso lo acabo de ver que lo están vendiendo ahí en Ginebra. Me agrada. Y el segundo punto es algo muy importante. Tenemos un problema con relación a tres medicamentos de uso veterinario para animales de abasto para consumo humano. Y dejamos planteada esa cuestión en la reunión de residuos de medicamentos veterinarios en Estados Unidos. No sé si es el momento oportuno para preguntarle a usted, y perdone, ¿por qué esa propuesta que Guatemala hizo en su oportunidad para la inclusión de la revisión del uso de boldenona, nandrolona y la combinación de ivermectina más eranol no aparece como un nuevo trabajo? No sé si me podría explicar, y le agradezco mucho su atención.
Thank you, delegation of Guatemala. Very briefly then, we have the privilege of having the chair of the Codex Committee for Residues of Veterinary Drugs in our midst. Can you very briefly reflect upon the second question just made by the delegate of Guatemala? USA, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we did consider the concerns of the delegate from Guatemala. In order to bring a matter like this to the Commission, it first must go through a priority-setting process by which a separate working group of the CCR-VDF designates which veterinary drugs will have priority for review. At that time, there was the drugs that were proposed by the delegate from Guatemala did not have the appropriate documentation to go through that review process. And in general, we require that, first of all, the drug in question is a concern for public health, and it represents a potential impediment in trade relation or trade. Secondly, that there are data available to evaluate the safety of the drug, and third, that there is a drug company sponsor who is willing to provide that information. At this time and back during that meeting, we did not have assurances of any of those three things. We did take into account that these were urgent priorities for Guatemala and other developing countries, and it is still a matter that is being taken under consideration in the CCRVDF. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope that's helpful.
That is. Thank you very much. Yes, that are the rules of the game, and hopefully Guatemala, this gives a clarification why this has not been forwarded as a proposal for new work. Ladies and gentlemen, given the fact that we have a lot of work ahead of us, I propose that we now move on quickly to Table 2. Proposals for the discontinuation of work, and there in Table 2 of our document, Addendum 1, we see proposals from CCPR, the Food Additives Committee, the Food Labeling Committee, and again the Committee for Fresh Fruit and Vegetables, to discontinue work on these four issues. I will not spell them out. You can see it in your document. It has not been discussed in the CC Executive Committee. There were no comments received from members or observers. So my proposal to the Commission is to endorse these proposals of these four committees to discontinue work as mentioned in Table 2. And I take it that that is acceptable, and I thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, let us then quickly move on to our next agenda item, which is agenda item 9, financial and budgetary matters, and you should have before you Alinorm 08/31/9A. You should have also with you INF document 3, which is the report of the parent organizations on budgets of codex-related work. You should have before you INF 9, which is an interesting, more detailed information on codex expenditures in the previous biennium by a biennial output. Maybe that the Secretary also will refer to INF 8, which is on codex document distribution. In that area, cost savings has been realized. And I draw your attention specifically to the two reports of the Executive Committee of the 60th session, December last year. The relevant paragraphs are 43 up to and including paragraph 60. Which amongst others dealt with consideration of alternative funding mechanisms, and I draw your attention to the report of the Executive Committee of last week, and the relevant paragraphs are 108 up to and included 125. And it is my pleasure to give the floor, first of all, to our Secretary. I take it that he will introduce briefly to you Alinorm 08/31/9A, and maybe he does it the one part after the other. We have in this document three parts, A, B, and C, but I leave that in his hands. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you have rightly pointed out, there are several sub-items that are covered under this item number 9. And all four of these sub-items have been discussed at the last and the second last session of the Executive Committee. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, for the purpose of having focused discussion on each of these four sub-items, let me introduce at this point of time the first item, the first sub-item on the Codex budget and expenditure for 2006 and 2007 biennium. Mr. Chairman, as many delegates are aware, the Codex program, which is a joint FAO-WHO program, is implemented as one technical program entity within the framework of FAO's regular program and budget. The two institutions, two parent organizations, FAO and WHO, are providing resources to the Codex program, whose secretariat is hosted under the roof of FAO, which is located in Italy, in Rome, Italy. And the large majority of operations are conducted from Rome, Italy. This being said, that we have to recognize a substantial amount of income contribution that provides a backbone to the work of the Codex Interest Commission. And by saying this, I'm referring to the income contributions brought to the Commission by the more than 20 host governments that chair one of the 20-plus Codex subsidiary bodies, namely Codex committees and task forces, and also the coordinating committees. So without the support of those governments to the work of the Commission would have been unable to conduct its business and gain international reputation until today. Mr. Chairman, as the Codex Alimentarius Commission is a program within the framework of United Nations system, our budget is based on biennial planning process, and this is a reason why I'm presenting today the expenditure report on the previous biennium. The relevant information is found in Part A of Document 9A and its Annex Table 1. Also, you have the additional information in Document INF 9, and this is the first time that we present this alternative analysis of our expenditure by what we call biennial outputs within FAO. Mr. Chairman, I would like to refer the Commission to Table A in the annex of the main working document, Document 9A. You may note that the total expenditure of the Codex program operated from Rome exceeded $7 million in the last biennium, overshooting the budget provision for by more than $300,000. And this increase is due to the cost increases that went beyond the provision, as well as the fluctuation of the exchange rate between the United States dollars, in which the budget of FAO and WHO are accounted for, and the euro, the currency in which the significant amount of Codex expenditure is incurred. this exchange rate fluctuation in favor of the euro had led to the significant increase of professional salaries, an increase which was inevitable and over which we have basically no control. And the situation was even aggravated by the fortunate fact that the Codex professional staff were fully staffed during this biennium, while according to the budgeting practice in FAO, when we prepare a budget, we take it granted that any professional post remains vacant for a given period of time for any biennium. Therefore, if all posts are occupied for 24 months in any given biennium, the actual expenditure usually and automatically overshoots the budget. This increase was not repeated for the salaries of general service staff, because we have extended vacancies in the posts that belong to general service. Mr. Chairman, I also draw your attention to non-staff costs, which is 3.8 million US dollars, which consisted of various expenditure, all sorts of expenditure other than staff salary, which is slightly bigger than the budget, but actually it was less than what we had spent in the preceding biennium 2004 and 2005. And I would like to invite the Commission to note that this containment of increase in non-staff costs has been achieved thanks to a series of stringent cost containment measures agreed upon by the Commission 2 years ago, so that we discontinue the paper distribution of working documents and discontinue the regular publication of the Codex Alimentarius in volume structure. We switched, therefore, to exclusive distribution of Codex working documents through electronic means, meaning email, and direct downloading using Codex website, which is open to everybody. We also switched to the electronic publication of the Codex Alimentarius instead of orange volumes that may still decorate some of the offices of the Codex contact points. We now issue Codex CD-ROM every year. And we have one CD-ROM containing all the text-based standards, such as commodity standards, general standards, guidelines, recommendations, and we have a second CD-ROM that actually contains the general standards for food additives, which has a structure of database to make it user-friendly. Mr. Chairman, the table 1 in Annex is listed in the traditional format in which any technical program of FAO makes its report of expenditure. However, in reply to the standing request from some members to know more about the expenditure structure of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, we have submitted the alternative breakdown of the expenditure incurred in the same biennium in the graphic format, which you can find in INF 9 document. Of course, basically with regard to the staff costs, which occupy the basically roughly the half of the codex expenditure, you may see that the publication, even if we have moved to the electronic publication, basically occupies 9.3. My apologies for 6.1. 6.05. Yes, 9.3 of the codex budget. And also, Mr. Chairman, the costs related to the organizations of the sessions of the governing bodies of the commission itself, and the executive committee accounts for 17.6% of the codex expenditure. This is due to the fact that cost associated with these sessions are totally taken in charge by the codex budget. For instance, all the documents, translations, interpretation you are getting, and all further means, assistance to the delegates to get into Switzerland, etc., to get a visa to get into the Switzerland, etc., all these costs are borne directly by the Codex Secretariat. So this is a reason why the governing bodies' meetings and their servicing take a great deal of Codex resources. Other smaller elements related to the establishment of general standards in food labeling or nutrition area, in food safety area, for commodity work, etc., they basically include the travel costs of Codex Secretariat staff to service specific meetings of Codex subsidiary bodies. And usually the translation of the working documents as well as reports are kindly being covered by the host governments. For coordinating committees, the Codex Secretariat provides for further assistance, including interpretation and document translation. Mr. Chairman, this figure shows the fact and confirms the fact that Codex Alimentarius Commission and its program is basically a meeting operation, and publication and communication activities between the Secretariat and the membership. And this is the reason why we are very much vulnerable to the cost increases related to those expenditure that is unavoidable for the servicing of the meeting. And this is a reason why, after having put into practice the stringent cost-saving measures in the past biennium to contain non-staff costs, we are increasingly in an increasingly difficult situation where we cannot find easily additional cost-saving measures. Mr. Chairman, I will stop at this point and would be happy to clarify any points. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Secretary, for introducing the first part of our document and including the interesting information in Inf 9 to the committee. We had last week in the Executive Committee an in-depth review of this information, and you see that in paragraph 111, the CC Exec basically noted the information. And I would like to reiterate that in the Codex Secretariat, all the posts were filled. Good work has been undertaken to realize cost savings, particularly in the area of document dispatch, as explained by our secretary. And I think that we also may express our appreciation for the fact that we have now this information as depicted in document INF 9, on many occasions in the past, we have asked as Commission Executive Committee for more detailed information, and I guess this is very useful to get a better understanding of the way, let's say, on details of the budget. The floor is open for questions or observations. At the same time, ladies and gentlemen, for sake of time, we also should try to be very... I see the flag of Cameroon. Also try not to raise too many questions, because primarily we should leave this in the hands of the Executive Committee, and the Executive Committee was satisfied with the information presented. But I see Mr. Mehdi from Cameroon, you cannot resist to raise your flag. Cameroon, please.
Oui, Monsieur le Président, je crois que peut-être vous nous connaissez déjà suffisamment et merci de nous passer la parole. Nous voulons, dans un premier temps déjà, remercier le secrétariat pour l'exposé de tout à l'heure qui nous a permis de nous rafraîchir un peu les idées par rapport à ce document et nous féliciter déjà de la transparence dans la présentation des documents. Cette transparence que nous avons tant désirée les années passées, mais aussi pour le travail qu'a fait le comité exécutif dans sa revue de ce document. Il y a une chose sur laquelle nous pensons que nous ne pouvons pas ne pas faire de commentaire, c'est l'effort qui est fait au niveau du secrétariat en matière de gain d'efficience. Nous pensons que c'est un effort louable. Nous travaillons là-dessus et nous aimerions voir de plus en plus des résultats positifs comme ceux-ci en matière de gain d'efficience. Mais, Monsieur le Président, ça ne peut pas nous empêcher de nous interroger sur deux aspects des documents qui sont devant nous. D'abord, le premier aspect, c'est que quand on regarde le compte rendu du budget 2006, du biennium 2006-2007, et on le compare avec les propositions ou bien le budget 2000, du biennium 2008-2009, on ne peut pas s'empêcher de s'interroger sur l'érosion de la contribution de la FAO, de l'OMS sur le plan relatif. Cela s'entend. Je ne parle pas en termes absolus, mais sur le plan relatif. À ce rythme, nous réussissons de nous retrouver à une situation où plus de 90% du budget viendra de la FAO. C'est une situation que nous n'aimerons pas voir. Et nous aimerons attirer l'attention de l'OMS là-dessus pour que dans les budgets subséquents, qu'on ait au moins le sentiment qu'il y a un effort qui est fait de ce côté. Et nous ne pouvons pas reculer en matière relative parce que c'est le même chiffre qui est retenu dans le budget de l'OMS que celui du biennium passé, même s'il y a une augmentation budgétaire d'une manière générale. Enfin, pour le deuxième point, c'est sur le dépassement budgétaire. Je crois que là également, il faut s'interroger. Pourquoi est-ce que nous avons eu ce dépassement budgétaire alors que le Codex a la possibilité d'utiliser les instruments qui sont à la FAO, parce qu'à la FAO, on a la possibilité de faire des budgets en termes de dollars et en termes d'euros. Je crois qu'ils peuvent préparer également ça dans ce contexte précis et ne pas avoir à spéculer sur les dollars. Je peux m'étendre, mais je pourrais, comme je vois déjà que la lumière clignote, vous donner la possibilité de continuer avec le reste. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Delegate of Cameroon. Delegation France, speaking on behalf of the membership. France, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Au nom des États membres de la communauté, je souhaiterais nous associer aux compliments et félicitations qui ont été émises précédemment à l'égard du remarquable travail accompli par le secrétariat et dans des conditions que l'on voit pas toujours aisées. En second lieu, nous remanifestons ce souhait de voir un meilleur équilibre des contributions entre les organisations parentes et je pense que chacun d'entre nous va essayer aussi au retour dans le pays de voir comment inciter à ce meilleur équilibre de contribution entre les organisations parentes. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, delegation of France. I thought I saw for a while the flag of the USA, but I see the flag of Chile. Chile, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Siempre hemos pensado que la Secretaría es el pulmón de funcionamiento del sistema CODEX y veo que hace denodados esfuerzos cada año con un presupuesto escaso de poder apoyar todo el procedimiento del sistema CODEX. Dentro del informe que nos presentó, no solo pensamos tomar nota, sino que apoyar que se puedan otorgar más recursos. Veo que la FAO lo hace e instamos a que vía OMC también se puedan otorgar mayores recursos. Dentro de lo poco que tiene, ha afortunadamente mantenido, que es lo principal, como son el apoyo en las reuniones programadas para el bienio. También, en cuanto a transparencia, la grabación y difusión de los debates del Comité Ejecutivo, que son relevantes para el funcionamiento de este comité. Pensamos que más adelante vamos a ver el tema ese de una consultoría que va a ver lo que va a analizar las actividades de la Secretaría, y obviamente el resultado va a decir que son escasos la gente que hay hoy día en la Secretaría para cumplir todas las labores que en el día de hoy está haciendo y que está a futuro creciendo bastante más. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, delegation of Chile. Delegation of the USA and then Iran. Delegation USA, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The United States, and indeed, based on today's deliberations, most member countries recognize the importance of the critical review process and the emphasis that the critical review is given within the strategic plan. We regret that the December 2008 Executive Committee at which the critical review should take place has been canceled. We strongly urge that the parent organizations, both FAO and WHO, reconsider this and find a way to take necessary action to allow this important meeting to take place. Thank you.
Thank you, delegation of the USA. Iran, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Let me to join to the some other previous colleague to thank the Secretariat for the trying he has been done previous for the decreasing the cost, and thank you for that efforts that has been done already. And I would like to go along with the Cameroon statement regarding the balance between contribution between the FAO and WHO. And the question as made by the Cameroon, there is a question that the year by year the contribution of the WHO is decreasing rather than to be increased. So, Mr. Chairman, while I would like again to ask the Secretariat try to be more efficiently gained regarding the budget for biennial, I would like finally support the budget proposed by the Secretariat for this biennial. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, delegation of Iran. Then I have Singapore, Argentina, and Australia on my list. Singapore first, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the Secretariat for the excellent efforts in economizing the resources and expenditure. I noticed that the budgets for the millennium 2008 and 9, it's an increase of 14% over the expenditure of 06 and 07. I just want to know whether this is consistent with the general inflation, and particularly taking into consideration of the global inflations that we are facing. Will that increase amount sufficient for the Secretariat in the and also I think we also know that the WHO has kept its contribution, and I would certainly like to urge or at least the WHO reps take note of the list request that WHO should keep pace with the general increase in the at least in percentage term in its contribution rather than capping it at a fixed sum. I don't think this is reasonable. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, delegation of Singapore. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina desea reiterar sus comentarios respecto a que también nos ha llamado la atención que el porcentaje de aportes que realiza la Organización Mundial de la Salud se ha mantenido estable a lo largo del tiempo y que realmente nos preocupa que haya tantas diferencias entre los aportes que hace la FAO y la OMS. Entendemos que para la FAO la cuestión de la inocuidad de los alimentos ha sido un tema priorizado por sus miembros. No sabemos si en el caso de la Organización Mundial de la Salud es así y si los miembros de la Organización Mundial de la Salud aplican un porcentaje del presupuesto que guarde relación con la prioridad que le han dado a este tema. Creo que también hay una responsabilidad de los gobiernos en este sentido, lo ha señalado el director del OMS, respecto de que no solo tenemos que llamar la atención respecto de esta disparidad en los aportes aquí en el Códex, sino en las reuniones anuales de ambas organizaciones. No obstante, creemos que lo que no debe resentirse si para ambas organizaciones fuera prioritario el tema de la inocuidad de los alimentos es el trabajo de Códex. Lo que nos preocupa fundamentalmente es que las prioridades apunten básicamente a reducir el tiempo en que se discuten los documentos porque a veces es imposible cumplir con los plazos si se pretende prestar atención a las preocupaciones de todos los miembros. Y la otra cuestión que nos preocupa es que se reduzcan o restrinjan la cantidad de temas que puede abarcar el Códex. Obviamente que en esta instancia donde iniciamos las actividades de un nuevo plan estratégico y donde el examen crítico se supone que cada vez debe hacerse de una manera más profunda y también más dinámica, no se pueda llegar a realizar la reunión del 2008 del Comité Ejecutivo y por eso instamos a ambas organizaciones y al Secretariado del Códex a que tengan en cuenta todas las previsiones posibles para ver si se podría llegar a llevar a cabo. Gracias.
Thank you, delegation of Argentina. Australia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Firstly, let me thank the Secretary for the provision of the additional detail on budgets and expenditure from the past year. I'd particularly like to note the Secretary's emphasis on the vulnerability of Codex to cost increases. And this is also relevant to the addition of new work under the Commission. We will continue to be under increasing pressure and we do need to increase income. But we cannot do that simply through telling our parent organisations that they should give us more. And I think this view would reflect comments made by the WHO representative at the last commission. What we do need to do is have a compelling business case to take to the parent organisations to explain to them that with the provision of additional funds, here are the things that we can take forward, and here is the new work that we can take on. In the absence of that funding, then here are the things that we cannot do. And this needs to be in the context of the priorities, for example, of the World Health Organization. Last year, Australia, I believe, suggested the concept of a biennial business plan, and I'd reassert that need now. We don't propose a major flowery document, but rather a document that links the strategic plan to the tasks and activities and work program of the Commission and provides a breakdown of the costs of doing those things. If we have that sort of information available, then all of the member states are in a better position to speak with a consistent message at the World Health Assembly in future years. Thank you.
Thank you, delegation of Australia. Japan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After having listened to the Secretary's explanation for the budget situation, I cannot help expressing deep sympathy for their plight in coping with the problems that are very difficult to solve. Therefore, I want to stress the importance of the request stipulated by the Executive Committee in the document I know, 08/31/38, and paragraph 116, the last part which I read. Finally, the Executive Committee requested FAO and WHO to assign high priority to Codex when determining their budget, including the allotment for 2009 and the biennial budget 2010 to 2011. The realization of this request is highly needed to be done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, delegation of Japan. Ladies and gentlemen, I have on my list Brazil and South Africa. I'm inclined to close the list.
New Zealand.
Let me say up front the way I would like to proceed. This was, in fact, a presentation of the budget outcome of the previous biennium, and I have already noted a few general items. First of all, comments has been made on the balance between the contribution of FAO-WHO. There is a few delegations has expressed their concerns on the fact that in this year no second meeting of the Executive Committee has been scheduled. And we heard about a proposal made by Australia to work on a business case. What I have in mind is that I have noticed these ones, and first of all, I think that on this first part of our list, being the budget of the previous year, previous biennium, I would like to ask the Secretary just to answer a few technical issues. I remain keep these general principles, general issues on my list, and only come back to those when we also have discussed the budget of the current biennium. So maybe then we have a series of more general issues we will then take into account, and in that regard then I also will come back to the World Health Organization. So on this budget and expenditure of the previous biennium, I wish to finalize the discussion, but I saw at least I have Brazil and South Africa. New Zealand, you come back later. Yes, fine, thank you. Brazil, please.
Thank you, Chairman. And I don't want to repeat the points that were raised by other colleagues, but I certainly am looking forward to listen to the representative of WHO to explain to us the unexplainable. What is happening with the contribution of WHO to Codex? I'm really, really looking forward to that. Second point, since you started this this chunk of our meeting by saying that we would be asking specific questions to the Secretariat rather than commenting on the what is being presented. I just wanted to have a piece of clarification. The Secretary mentioned that contribution from extra budgetary contribution is brought into the system by specific countries. I have not been able to identify in the data provided where that money is being allocated to and how much of money that was brought into the system on this extra budgetary resources. He mentioned in-kind contribution. I don't know what he mentioned. He meant to say cash contributions. So I certainly would like to listen to what necessarily does that he meant by that, and how much money was brought into the system, and certainly I'm looking forward to listen to WHO, and I think all of us are really. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil. I let Mr. Schlund a little bit waiting. It is like wine, when you store it, it becomes better and better. South Africa, please. You are the last delegation on my list for an intervention. South Africa, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's good that you let him wait, because I think my question is also directed towards him. I think my question really seeks clarity with regards to paragraph 115 on the report from the 61st session of the Executive Committee. I think some members have referred to it. But the most important thing I want clarified is with regards to the WHO budget preparation process. Perhaps if we can be given more information in terms of what that entails. And also, secondly, with regards to a statement that is mentioned there, that it is the power is with member countries in terms of determining budget levels for the WHO budget. Because I think that, in a way, could help us move along in terms of what the budget problem we see in here. Thank you.
Thank you, delegation of South Africa. As said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of general issues. I repeat again the balance between the contributions of the parent organizations, and certainly also when we give the floor later to Dr. Schlund, that he also will say something about the issue raised in paragraph 115, the way the budget program, the budget plans are executed within the World Health Organization. We have the issue on the second meeting of the Executive Committee this year, and we have the repeated suggestion by Australia for a business case. At this point in time, Mr. Secretary, maybe you wish to very briefly answer a few technical questions, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As per your request, I will not address far-reaching and general issues which can be better handled after I have made my second presentation on the budget of the ongoing biennium. There was one question as to how cost increases affect the Codex budget. I give one specific example. Every 2 years, a few months after the new biennium has started, in the case of FAO, FAO's interpretation unit publishes a new price list. So whenever we hold a meeting in the FAO headquarters, the updated prices apply for the services we are getting by holding Codex sessions on the FAO headquarters. And the same applies to the interpreters dispatched to or recruited through the FAO interpretation unit to service regional coordinating committee meetings. The same is true for the interpreters working today with us. They have been recruited through the World Health Organization, and they are paid a predetermined price, which I hope would be applicable to the all UN agencies based in Geneva, if I have understood correctly. And the price go up regularly. So this is the reality of cost increases. There was a question as to the way how other human resources was used. And this is the first item in the non-staff costs. And I would give again an example. I mentioned that there were sustained vacancies that affected a few Codex general service staff posts. When these posts are vacant, we don't need to pay salary for the vacant post. So we make economies in the staff salary, in this case, general service staff salary. But the work needs to be conducted. Therefore, we need to recruit consultants or personal service subscribers or temporary assistance staff whose costs are listed under the other human resources or chargeback. Chargeback includes the money our program needs to pay back to the central service of FAO, which dispatch temporary assistance staff members to technical services. So there is sort of trade-off aspect between the staff costs and non-staff costs. The breakdown of non-staff costs is somewhat arbitrarily done by the FAO's central budgetary unit, and often without consultation of each of the technical units. But I can assure you that in the second preceding biennium, 2004 and 2005, we expended $278,000 under the same budget line, other human resources. And compared to that expenditure, the expenditure for this biennium, which stood at $1.3 million, is not an excessive one. But it does include increases, so that was inevitable because of the sustained vacancy of certain general service staff posts. And there was a question as to what is meant by the in-kind contribution. Again, I would like to give a very simple example. Brazil kindly hosted the task force on fruit juices for 4 or 5 years term. And during this term, Brazil kindly used or booked and paid for conference facilities for each of the sessions that took place in Brazil. Brazil was kind enough to recruit interpreters to service those meetings, and Brazil was kind enough to translate the all working documents from the original language to the other language, working language of that particular task force. And Brazil was kind enough to print those documents and made available to all participants. So this is an example of in-kind contribution brought to the Codex system by all host governments that chair the Codex subsidiary bodies. Apart from this, there is a smaller amount of extra budgetary contribution to the Codex program. And it is mentioned in paragraph 4 of the main budgetary document, which states, which records that in the Codex Secretariat, there is an additional professional staff member who is on loan from WHO to FAO to help advance our work. For instance, this particular staff member has been instrumental for the preparation of the Codex Strategic Plan 2008-2013. This was an important task that had been undertaken by the Codex Secretariat, and also this is a big product that might help to make our case to FAO and WHO for the years to come, and partly addressing the question touched upon by Australia. Without the help of this staff member, we would have to cut down into the Codex program in other areas. And we have two other professional staff members on set directly from member states to the Codex Secretariat based in FAO. Without the assistance of these staff members, it would have been impossible for the Codex Secretariat to service almost 20 and on a biennial basis 40 intergovernmental meetings taking place in Geneva, in Rome, or elsewhere. Of course, the secondment is not a miracle situation. Usually, seconded staff member will stay with us for a determined span of time, be it 2 years, 3 years, or sometimes 4 years. But it takes those temporary staff members to adapt to our culture and learn about the Codex tradition, terminology, and the way we prepare report and the way we operate with the member states. Therefore, we could really count on their strong input and significant contribution starting from the second year. But first year, it would remain that sometimes we have to show how things are going, etc., etc. So it's a very dynamic and also a good learning process for the regular budget staff members of the Codex, but I would put a word of caution that the simply increasing the number of seconded staff member in the Codex Secretariat may not help the basic solution and may indeed fragment the way we conduct the business. I think, Mr. Chairman, I could address more generic points of clarification after I have made the second presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And ladies and gentlemen, with this explanation on a number of issues raised during our discussion, I very much like to conclude the discussions under item A of our document, the budget and expenditure for 06-07, taking note that indeed all posts were filled, that cost savings has been realized in the last biennium. We take note of the observation just made by the Secretary on those secondees, which indeed is very helpful, but in the long run, not a solution. We also, in that regard, took note of an observation by one of the members about vulnerability of the cost of staff. And maybe at this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, it is appropriate to recognize the good work done by our secretary in managing this program. And, sir, I don't envy you. Thank you very much. It is 10 to 5, and our meeting will end at 5:30, and I will stop a little bit before giving our Code Secretary the opportunity to introduce the voting business. I guess now that I would like to give the floor again to the Code Secretary to introduce Part B of the document, the budget for 08. 09. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to refer the committee, commission at this point of time to Part B of the main budget document and accompanying table number 2, which shows the Codex budget. In the first column, we presented the budget as were foreseen and were reported to the last session of the Commission. Afterwards, as far as FAO is concerned, which the FAO had not held its regular conference of membership when this figure was presented to the Commission. I just want to remind the Commission that WHO's highest governing bodies is the World Health Assembly, which meets every year in May. And every 2 years, they discuss the budget for the coming biennium. In the case of FAO, the highest governing body is the FAO conference, which does not meet every year, but which does meet every 2 years in November to discuss the budget of the following biennium. So the coincidence has wished that Codex is funded by one of the UN agencies that holds its governing body session first in the cycle of budget planning, and by FAO, whose governing body meets at the last place in the cycle of Codex, the budget planning. Therefore, in the case of, I go back to table two, would like to explain that in the case of FAO, the final budget level was revisited by the FAO conference and FAO management, and the final Codex budget figure, as it stands in table two, is a total of $8.4 million divided by FAO and WHO, with 85.5% FAO and 14.5% WHO. The total budget of $8.4 million represents some 12.4% increase compared to the actual expenditure of the past biennium. However, it does not represent any increase in terms of the purchasing power of the Codex program due to the cost increase and exchange rate fluctuation, as I explained before. This would mean that WHO contribution, which stand nominally the same from the past biennium, means actually, in terms of the Codex budget, some 12.4% decrease in terms of the purchasing power, and this has been compensated by the FAO contributions increase from $6.1 million to $7.2 million. Of course, in turn, FAO is in a particular situation at this moment that the organization is undergoing an independent external evaluation. For this reason, the FAO will have an extraordinary session of its conference this November, and this conference will have the authority to review the current biennium's budget. Therefore, there is the possibility, either positive or negative, as regards the FAO contribution, the Codex budget. Mr. Chairman, now we would like to invite the delegates to look at paragraph 12 of this document, which provides what actually these figures mean. As I mentioned, the current year's allocation more or less corresponds to the real zero gross budget, because the gross offsets the cost increases and exchange rate shifts. We will be able to maintain all planned sessions, while we should note that there will be only 3 sessions of executive committee and not 4 sessions. On the other hand, we will be able to maintain all 6 meetings of FAO WHO coordinating committees. In terms of the length of meeting for the FAO WHO coordinating committees, the matter was raised during the executive committee last week, and the Codex Secretariat informed the executive committee already that we were making the best effort to accommodate the need and wish for each of the coordinating committees so that they have sufficient time to conduct their business. Mr. Chairman, the last session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission requested FAO and WHO to make budgetary arrangements, or in terms of the increase, in order to allow for the Commission to take on board a new language, Russian, and treat it in the same way as we treat Arabic and Chinese. That is to say, this language would not be used at the committee level, but at the Commission level, and in one of the coordinating committee, which is most relevant for that particular language. However, this increase of Codex budget to take account of the addition of Russian did not take place. FAO and WHO did not increase the Codex budget to address this point. Therefore, I must report to the Commission that it is impossible to take Russian on board at this stage. As regards Portuguese, which had been proposed for introduction on an experimental basis as a language of interpretation to Codex Coordinating Committee for Africa, but this not for documentation or translation, only for interpretation, this introduction would not cost that much, and the Codex Secretariat views that this language can be introduced by certain additional, minor but additional, cost-saving measures, which I will mention at a later stage. However, there is no plans whatsoever, unfortunately, to introduce this new language in the context of Coordinating Committee for Europe or the Coordinating Committee for Latin America and the Caribbean. This experiment could be made on an experimental, only for CC Africa, and the Commission could review the outcome of the introduction of Portuguese as a language interpretation in CC Africa at the next session in Rome to evaluate the positive or negative or whatever impact of this new language. Audio recording and web-based publicizing of the proceedings of Executive Committee and the Commission will continue. In terms of the publication, after we have gone for exclusive electronic publication, several member countries came back to us and say that they cannot really use the electronic documentation anywhere, especially at the national level. There is a continuous need to have something printed in the hands to make full use of Codex standards. This is the reason why basically we maintain electronic publication in this area. However, we have introduced a few numbers of special publications by thematic areas, and you may have seen some of them already, either in Geneva or dispatched in your capital. To the extent possible and within the limits of limited budget, we would strive to continue the same publication policy, mainly through the electronic publication by website and CD-ROMs, complemented by a limited number of special publications. In terms of the documentation, we understand that the discontinuance of hard copy distribution of Codex documents was basically accepted by the Codex membership. Of course, we recognize that many Codex membership still have problems with email and electronic communications, but we are very much recognizant of the efforts done by those member countries, and we shall continue with the same arrangement, and we are now in consulting the FAO's protocol unit to see whether we could even replace hard copy distribution of invitation to Codex sessions with electronic distribution of a scanned copy of the invitation letter. This point was presented to the Executive Committee last week, and we noted a view that certain countries may still need hard copy of invitations, and electronic copy was not acceptable. We were sensitive to this request, and even if we go for electronic distribution of invitation, we shall pay due regard to the particular need of certain member countries. In terms of the Secretariat staff structure, there will be no increase, no decrease. We have one Executive Secretary, D1, myself. We have two P5 Senior Food Standards Officers. We have two P4 Level Food Standards Officers. And we have two P3 level food standards officers. And, of course, this staff structure does not include the three staff members on secondment or on loan. And we have a total of 7 general service staff members, which may seem to some of you that we have too many general service staff, but in fact, Codex is about meeting operation and accompanied by the huge need to handle documentation and document dispatch. So most of the general service staff are in charge of handling documentation and controlling the translation process. Also, proofreading the final Codex Alimentarius. So this is a necessary staff, and very much necessary staff, for the good operation of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Mr. Chairman, I will stop my second part of presentation at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Ladies and gentlemen, before I give part B of this document to the floor, I give the floor to Mrs. Boutrieff. He just brought to my attention that he had to leave to catch his plane. Mr. Boutrieff, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry to leave at this crucial moment, but I didn't expect that this item would be delayed till now. Just a few words to say what I have already said in my introductory statement yesterday on this imbalance in the ratio of contribution between FAO and WHO, which is of course decreasing in the disfavor of FAO, and we would like this to be taken up seriously between the two heads of the agencies in order to establish a ratio that would be to show both the interest of both agencies to work together in this joint program. And I hope that this takes place at the next visit that the Director General of WHO will be making to Rome in July, late in July. The other matter that I would like to say is that indeed the FAO is under an external evaluation. The member countries are reviewing now the report of the external evaluation, and we will only have an indication of the priorities that the member countries will retain for FAO's programs in the future in November of this year. However, the signals that we have from the working groups of member countries that are looking at the technical subjects is that Codex will remain a priority, and we hope that it will continue to receive the support of FAO membership so that we can continue with this program as in the past and even more. One thing, though, that we have to be aware of is that if Codex nowadays has been delivering Codex Secretariat particularly has been delivering what it has so far, is because, as the Secretariat outlined it, we have three additional staff that are not paid by the budget. And these are three staff that are fully working with the Codex Secretariat, supported by member countries. They are seconded staff, have a contribution, a sizable contribution. Now, without them, the Secretariat would be in a difficult situation. This has to be taken into consideration. This staff, of course, this additional staff cannot be there for forever. They are seconded. One of these days, their governments will recall them back, and then we will be in difficulty. So these posts will need to be introduced into in the staffing of the Secretariat so that it can operate in normal conditions and not work in very late hours every day, as you all noticed. That's all that I can say, Mr. Chairman, and I would like to excuse myself. I have to leave at this crucial moment, but you understand what is waiting for me in Rome.
Thank you, Mr. Boutry, for your comments on the budget. As usual, it was a pleasure to meet you here.
Thank you.
And I wish you a safe journey back to Rome.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order not to have further disbalance between the two parent organizations, it is more than appropriate to give the floor now to Dr. Schlund. Representative of WSO, please.
Thank you very much. I'll remain within the 14% of the speaking time of which will not be difficult, by the way. First, there is a statement here from some member states, that, and maybe also from the top table, that Codex has a special vulnerability. This is simply not true. Anything that WHO and FAO is doing in member states has a special vulnerability. If we are vaccinating people in Upper Volta, and the vaccines will be more expensive, they are special vulnerability. If we are fighting AIDS in South Africa together with the government, and we are trying to produce the needed drugs for the people to survive, they have special vulnerability. Anything that costs more because of the fluctuation of the dollar has special vulnerability. So please try to use the real arguments. Try to use good arguments when you try to argue the case in WHO's governing body, which is the World Health Assembly. So, second question. Who decides the WHO budget? You do. The member states do. You might not talk to the people who go to the World Health Assembly. You should. If you don't, it's your mistake. And we have pointed it out many times that member states speak in the World Health Assembly and decide the budget. So, that's the second question. Then, there was some mentioning here that there is a reduction in what Codex is doing. We can't talk so long at the meetings or whatever. This is not true. Codex is doing significantly more now than before. We would like to recognize also from WHO that the Secretariat and the whole Codex system is now working more efficiently than before. We have double speed with the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Every year instead of every 2 years, double speed. Nobody can tell me that that is less efficient. That is more efficient. We have more participation of developing countries because of the Trust Fund. We have more health issues being dealt with, because also we had a review of the Codex system saying that we should do that. All these things are being done. All these things means that Codex is working more efficiently also for health. So let us not put anything into anybody's head about slower or it's a problem that we cannot talk as long at the meetings, which, by the way, is not always the best way forward. Then we talk about the increase in budget. In 2004-05, after the review, WHO increased the budget, which comes out of the regular budget of WHO, decided by member states, increased it so that it now is 35% of the regular budget that WHO has for food safety. 35, before it was 29. It continues to be 35% of the regular budget that WHO has for food safety. If the member states feel that WHO should do less scientific advice, less capacity building in countries, less information to countries and consumers about food safety, you should say so in the World Health Assembly. And then maybe we should take the 35% and change them into 50% for Codex, and then we only have 50% for all the other things. There has to be some reasonable arguments if we want to increase Codex, because it means that we are decreasing other things unless the World Health Assembly, guided by the member states, take the decision to put more money there. We are not the ones to say that. Secretariat is not the ones to decide that. This is the member states. Then, about what the budget process is in WHO. We do not work in WHO with automatic continuation of anything. There is no automatic continuation of vaccination. There is no automatic continuation of the same level of treatment in relation to AIDS. Nothing. We decide every 2 years, we decide what should be used next biennium based on a description of what the tasks are and what should then be allocated there. We do that every 2 years, we meaning all the member states. So there is no automatism. If Codex becomes more important and needs to do more things, specific things, like mentioned by Australia here, mentioned specific things we need to do, if there are new things, more money will be allocated, I'm sure. But there is no automatism saying that because 40 years ago we did this, we have to do exactly the same now. No automatism. And I'm sure if you go back to your member states representative in World Health Assembly, they would tell you that too. And by the way, I think this is a way that we should be working in the future. We have to make the case what we want to do, see what it costs, and then allocate the money. This thinking that there is an automatism in the budget in relation to one specific issue under WHO, namely the Codex, is simply not valid in terms of the World Health Assembly. So that needs to be clear. If we want to do more, we set aside more money, but there is no automatism, and there could also be a situation where less money should be used at some stage. Just like we've done in scientific advice. In scientific advice, we did extra scientific advice in biotechnology when that was needed. Extra scientific advice in microbiology when that was needed. Then, the next year, it's not needed. We don't say that then automatically we have to have the same continuation of budget. Of course we don't. It does not make sense anywhere. And it doesn't make sense either in Codex. We have to make the case for what we want to do. So, my last thing, because I think I'm running up to 14% now. No, I don't think I'm over 14%, not in comparison to the total talk here. WHO budget, I need to say this once more, and we are saying this every meeting, WHO budget is being decided by member states. Please talk to your representatives in the World Health Assembly. They will explain to you how the budget process is, if you want to know about it, and you will explain to them, if you want to, what you are saying here. Because it does not help to tell the WHO Secretariat that we should do this or that with the budget, because we don't have any say over the budget. Member states have. But I think I've repeated that several times now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, representative of WHO. Before I give the floor to anybody, I wish to check with the Codex Secretary. I see your flag, but wait a moment. Once again, Mr. Schlund, thank you for your observations. My recollection is that you made similar observations last time, so thank you for being consistent. And maybe in a summary, when we finalize Part B, I will come back on a number of these issues. You explained indeed, as requested, the way the program, the budget program is managed within WHO. On previous occasions also, we have brought to attention from the members that of course we can talk here to the parent organizations, but better to make your case in the governing bodies when it is about the budget for Codex and for scientific advice. We'll come back to that a little bit later. And I guess that that part of what you said also is in line with the observations earlier made by the colleague from Australia when he said something about a business case. And we should recognize what has been just said by Mr. Boutrieff, that there seems to be a meeting planned between the heads of both organizations, most likely in July, because at the end of the day, this is also a matter at the highest level between the two organizations. And certainly we'll await the outcome of that meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, I have on my list Bulgaria, Tunisia, Cameroon, Ghana, Brazil. We have 10 minutes to go, -7, -8, to give the floor to the Secretary to introduce the voting on the agenda item 16. So I guess we will not make it today to finalise this agenda item part B. I give the floor to Bulgaria, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, just a point of order and a remark to the distinguished speaker's observation. There's no such country as the Upper Volta. To the benefit of Facts Precision and the delegation to my left, not for the last 40 years or so. Thank you.
Thank you, Bulgaria. Then quickly on to Tunisia. Tunisia, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. À propos des remarques concernant l'OMS et le budget de l'OMS et la place que la sécurité sanitaire des aliments pourrait revêtir à l'OMS, je pense qu'ici au Codex, à cause de la valence économique qui est toujours présente en sus de la sécurité sanitaire sur le plan de santé publique, il y a plusieurs structures qui sont concernées. Et pour avoir participé moi aussi à l'Assemblée mondiale, nous attendons depuis 2 années que la sécurité sanitaire soit un des thèmes principaux pour que réellement les différents pays puissent introduire une révision de leur système de sécurité sanitaire pour que réellement les autres intervenants puissent également intervenir. Parce qu'au niveau de l'OMS, c'est essentiellement les ministères de la Santé qui interviennent et pas les autres intervenants du commerce et de l'industrie et surtout de l'agriculture. Donc est-il possible d'inscrire comme thème principal la sécurité sanitaire des aliments aux prochaines assemblées mondiales? Après le succès qu'il y a eu en introduisant la sécurité sanitaire des aliments et des maladies transmises par les aliments au niveau du règlement sanitaire international. Merci.
Thank you, Tunisia. Ladies and gentlemen, we will stop here in the understanding that tomorrow morning at 9:30 we will continue, hopefully very briefly, that we can then wrap up our discussions regarding Part B of Document 9. Of this document on budget and finance, we have another part, C, alternative funding mechanisms. So I have on my list for tomorrow morning Cameroon, Ghana, Brazil. We have the general items identified earlier. So we have to adjourn the meeting now on this particular item. But before we really adjourn, then I have to give the floor to our secretary on agenda item 16 to introduce the voting. And this part of the meeting will be chaired by the incumbent chair, Dr. Mosha. Argentina, did you have the point of order? Very briefly.